Project White Oak, Project Tree, Project Sandy. Top secret negotiations are going on behind the scenes. Kershaw County is going green if the sun shines. Sunshine? Transparency? Not in these days. County Council moves to move public comments to the end of the meeting. We've got a special report from Pochop on free speech in Kershaw County. And fee and lose. Fees and lose of taxes. Feelots is what they call them. And what does it mean? These are, again, secret negotiations and tax incentives like Scout Motors and Boeing. But even down into your local level, they call it economic development, an incentive package to bring jobs and financial security and economic growth to the area. But what are they really? That's what we're covering on the Liberty Report. It starts right now.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a cold studio. We've lowered our heat here at the studio in solidarity with the poor people of Camden who are suffering under City of Camden's electricity mafia's extortion. But your rates are about to come down, as all Kershaw County residents should be applauding what's really going on behind the scenes to help the poor people of Kershaw County with electricity rates so that we can fight climate change, sustainable development. Kershaw County Council is in secret negotiations with three different projects in the Cassett area for solar farms, electricity produced by sunshine that is going to be put onto the grid in order to help provide electricity at reasonable cost. Now, of course, to do this, it's going to take more money because we have to give tax incentives to all these corporations that are going to put in these solar panels. On Tuesday, November 28th, Kershaw County Council voted to push forward three different fee and lieu tax agreements toward these secretive, anonymous corporations. And they always call it these wonderful code names. In this case, it's Project White Oak, Project Tree, and Project Sandy. And during the county council meeting, now these negotiations are always kept, the public are left out of it, and kept in secret, but under the guise of the corporations don't want any of their competitors to know anything about it. And the government doesn't want any other governments to know about it so that they don't provide other businesses with or other governments with that information. In other words, they're both competing against government and business. But is that completely true at all? all your governments now play this game of fee in lieu of taxes. And so now they're all competing on who can give away the most to whoever. So, they don't want anybody there. And then the businesses don't want anybody there either, because another business might swoop in there and get a better deal. But in the end, the taxpayers are the ones that pay for everything. But this is the mixture of business and government, which is the very definition of fascism, as Mussolini called it, or the best is corporatism, where the people are just workers on the plantation of the corporation run by the government. And that's what we have today. And this is what Kershaw County Council is moving to do with these feedlots. And then, as they do all their approvals and all, the people are left out of it until the third reading, when it's finally revealed who the corporation is and a lot of the details. It'll be 15, 17, 20, 30 pages of legal gobbledygook to figure out what they're actually getting. And the public is never fully informed, because they don't tell you what would have been. Like, if that corporation would have come in there and done whatever it's going to do, making widgets or putting in a solar farm, what would they do? How much taxes would they have to pay over the period of this feedlot? They never give you a comparison. They just tell you this is the fee that they're going to pay, not what would have been. So even that is kept kind of in secret. Many of Kershaw County councilmen have talked about transparency in government and how they're trying to be open and transparent with everything. Jimmy Jones has been one that has talked about transparency over and over again. But these secret feedlot deals are somewhere that all of them agree that we have to have this secrecy. But in doing our investigation on all this, we came across the Nerve. The Nerve is the media outlet for a think tank, a libertarian think tank called the South Carolina Policy Council. And they have a wonderful article pertaining basically to all these secret deals that go on at the state house and then down to the local level, shedding light on South Carolina's murky corporate welfare system. And it talks a little bit about the Scout Motors deal over in Blythewood. The South Carolina might be a conservative, but is it a free market state? It's an open question after the South Carolina legislature this year used $1.3 billion in public funds to recruit a single company, Scout Motors, to Richland County. South Carolinians, worst of all, the deal occurred without any real public input. In fact, it was only revealed 2 weeks before it was passed. South Carolinians deserve far better. To facilitate transparency and public input in incentives process, as well as to bring accountability to projects once approved, several changes are needed. And these are kind of a start to bring transparency to all these dirty deeds whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, these deeds need to be in the public. They recommend hold public hearings on proposed incentives prior to their approval. Currently, what happens is they go into these secret negotiations long before they even begin to bring it before the public. Then they have to do three readings to pass. The first reading will be in title only. The second reading may or may not have a little bit of detail, but not much. Or it'll be in title only too. And then just before the next meeting, usually the Friday before a Tuesday, the actual agreement, who it is, what it is, where it is, and what kind of deal it is, will only be revealed to the public at that time, leaving you little time to much less go over it and grasp what's actually going on, but to create any kind of opposition, or if it's a good deal, to be able to understand why and advocate for that. So on both sides of the sword, it's bad. But if you're doing dirty deeds, then that transparency needs to be opaque. Opaque as glass block. You know, you can kind of see what's there behind it, but you can't really tell what it really is. Nancy Pelosi said, we have to pass the bill in order to be able to see what's in it. And this is the kind of the same thing. So they also say to conduct third-party reviews, not overseen by the Department of Commerce or the administration of the county, or it needs to have some kind of outside, maybe a citizens committee or something. But the transparency needs to be there. They also say require counties to publish annual incentives reports detailing all their feedlots and other benefits. In other words, every year you ought to put on there, we did feedlot for Roy's Wood Products, and we did a feedlot for the Turkey Barn, and we did a feedlot, and this is the total cost, and this is what they would have paid if there would have been no feedlot, all things being equal. But they don't do that. What we're advocating, what they're advocating, and what we advocate here at the Liberty Report is if we're going to have government, and the government is by and for the people, then the people need to have all the access to everything. We'll leave a link to this article in the description. Please go and read it and see if it makes any sense to you. As they go on to say, a proper advance hearing on each project should give clarity on all the proposed incentives, the immediate and long-term taxpayer cost, the number of full-time jobs to be created, and specifically whether they're direct or indirect. And that's a critical thing. The bamboozle of the Scout Motors is there's very few actual new employees, and all the subs that may service that are already in business are counted as employees. The total plan private investment and minimum investment required to receive the incentives, a summary of pending requests for proposal, a written wish list commonly submitted by the companies. So we want to know what the companies ask for and what we're going to give them so we can compare. Let's see what kind of deal, what kind of horse trading you guys do. The exact location of the project, where the hell is it? You don't ever reveal it to the end. And then clawback or repayment for stuff that they don't do. A lot of times they don't do the stuff and there's no penalty. We don't get any clawback back. Or if there was written into the agreement, the government doesn't do that. The corporation just moves out. These are the things that we need to have for transparency. And I don't hear a single councilman up there talking about it. I don't hear them, I want more transparency, and I don't like an executive session for this and that. Now, Jimmy Jones, I will give him that. He talks the talk, but when it comes to all the feedlots and all this, where are you now? Where are you now, Jimmy Jones? Where are you now, any of you county councilmen, wanting this transparency? Transparency in government. It doesn't matter the incentive of a business, and it doesn't matter the incentive of that government. The people have to have transparency. Shed light, sunshine. Just like it powers a solar panel, it powers freedom and liberty and self-governance and holding your government accountable. In our next story, in an unprecedented move on November 28th, Kershaw County Chairwoman Katie Gwynn made a move to the agenda, which moved the public comments from the fifth item of the meeting, right at the beginning of the meeting, to all the way at the end, right before council briefings. Public comment has been moved before for various reasons, but the reasons were for baseball teams and such as that, so that they could go ahead and get their award and all, and then leave when the county starts to do business. But this unprecedented move has people asking questions about free speech. To give us the details, our star reporter Pokechop has been doing an investigation. And does all this relate to the dumpster fire in the Empire of Lies?
The meeting of November 28, 2023 had some surprises. As a chairwoman changed the way that the agenda was going to be used. As you can see here, usually it's the call to order, the invocation, the pledge of allegiance, the adoption of the agendas, and then the public comments. And then all the other stuff comes after that. But on November 28th, Chairman Katie Gwynn moved the public comments to the other end down there around where everything else had been done except for the council briefings. So she took number 5 and moved it all the way down to number between 11 and 12, don't you know, right there. Now, why did she do that? Let's listen to what Katie Gwynn tells us what she did it for.
All right, I'm going to move things around a little bit so we can get some of our business dealings out of the way. I'm going to move item number 5, public comments, to right after item number 11, right before our council briefs.
So it's because we got a lot of other business and everything, you know, and I guess it's going to take a terrible, terrible lot of time. And what is interesting is there was only one person that ever signed up for it that night, and his name was Tom Webb. Nobody else signed up for it. But how can she do that kind of thing? Just move stuff around like that and everything. Well, guess who comes to ask about that? It's Jimmy Jones. Go ahead there, Jimmy Jones.
Chair, would you give by what authority you're doing that so the public would know?
Yes, absolutely. Section 2.5, Order of Business. Bravo, adoption of agenda. The order of business on the agenda may be varied if required by the chairperson.
Thank you.
So basically, Jimmy Jones say, you can move it around wherever you want because of whatever reason you want and everything else. And, you know, we are very busy and all that. So they moved it. But why did they move it? Now, as we reported last last Liberty reports on the last meeting. The last meeting, Katie Gwynn said that she was going to be at a court hearing for the dumpsters at the Food Line in Lugoff.
But yes, absolutely, I'll be there if this council would like us to be. All right, all those in favor of the amendment that Councilman Shoemake attend also and be authorized to speak on behalf of council, indicate by raising your hand. Right, vote is unanimous. And motion to authorize myself to speak on behalf of the council at the hearing, indicate by raising your hand if you support that motion. Okay. And the motion passes. Mr. Shoemake and I will be there Monday at 9:30 with you, Mr. DeBose, and we'll see if any actions needed on council's behalf.
Well, we know that she never did show there, and we reported that she said that she was at a COG meeting, a big old summit and everything, and it turns out she was there at a big old summit. Even though we looked on the COG meeting schedule, and there wasn't nothing on there. And even then, we called over to the Santee Lynch's Council of Governments and talked to the assistant over yonder, and they said there wasn't no meeting and all, and she don't know about no meeting, and it must have been a Zoom call, and ain't no minutes, and ain't nothing about it. But yet, Sammy Tucker and Katie Gwynn said it was, and there was 312 people and a whole bunch of people from here and yonder and everything else. And there's $600 million worth of stuff, government grants coming down the pike. And we'll be able to build all kinds of intersections and everything.
Myself and Madam Chair, I had the opportunity last week before Thanksgiving to travel to a conference with the COG. I think we had overall 320 attendees, and it went well. A lot of good information down there. We're not going to be as bad financially strapped as we thought we were. There's some programs there in the infrastructure that's coming down from Washington, D.C., so we can do some projects and do some things. We just can't jump on these mega projects anymore that cost millions and millions of dollars, like when we did our bypass here in Camden. We're struggling now to figure out a way to pay for the Bishopville truck bypass, which is now have increased to almost 60-something million dollars, which will virtually bankrupt the COG if we have to pay for that. So I could talk more about that beginning of the year, but conference was good.
Mr. Tuck, who is at the conference?
As far as from
in
our...
In the meeting, the COG and the conference, Mrs.
Gwynn. South Carolina.
South Carolina, yes, COG. So all 10 COGs.
That's great.
Yeah, so you got and Appalachian.
We had good representation there. We had good representation.
We do. We always do. Yeah.
Madam Chair was there.
Absolutely.
You were there.
We had at least 10 people there, 10 or 12.
It was actually 13 attendees from our COG, which
very
is
good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Of a board of 29, we'll take that. Some people usually only have about 3 or 4 or 5 people show up, so... And they did all attend class because I was looking around and I saw them. So they didn't just go shopping. So we appreciate that. Anything I'm leaving out, Madam Chair, on that? Or you want to cover anything I left out?
So that I took some notes from the DOT representative that was there. There's $660 billion available in grants for roadways, sidewalks, revitalization, anything to do with a road or safety measures. And that kind of leads me into something I wrote in all caps, need a grant writer. Next budget cycle, I definitely want council to discuss that, because I sent it to Mr. Blanchard and Mr. Templer, like, hey, here's some grants that we can apply for. They have a lot on their plate. But so that was really awesome. Hearing from DOT
and then Jimmy Jones made
and
sure
we have
you know
some other options
and
some other
we were well represented in it. Katie Gwynn was there, the chairwoman was there. Okay, the chairwoman was there, but she scheduled over here and she didn't show over yonder and she didn't tell nobody. But you know, in this kind of world, you don't know what is true and what is false. There's so many true and lies, and you don't never know. Well, in the end, Jeffy, we don't know what is true and what is false, and we can't keep track of none of them because there ain't no transparency, just like you covered in the feedlots. Anyway, that's the report. There's a poke chop reporting for the Kershaw County Liberty Report. See y'all later.
Thank you, Pork Chop, for that report. As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, there must have been a COG meeting, a COG summit. But as Pork Chop reported, they've called over to the Council of Governments and nobody knew about the big summit. The whole thing begs more questions than answers. If there was a COG meeting, who pays for these COG meetings? What do you think? Does the county pay for the excursion to go to this big COG meeting? Where was it held? What kind of hotel room did you get? Who pays for the food? You know, maybe we need to FOIA the expense reports for COG members and see how much taxpayers are paying. Then it begs the question, well, if you knew this great big summit was coming up, why didn't Katie Gwynn say, you know, I've got this big COG summit, I can't be at the court hearing? Instead of saying, Derek Shoemake and I will be there Monday morning at 9:30. So, what is true? What is false? We don't even know. And then there's the question of transparency. What does that mean? We've heard many a politician talk about transparency, but yet these deals, Scout Motors and different fee in lieu instead of taxes, what do these deals do? They're always done in secret. Pine Tree, White Oak, and Sandy. Now we're just getting the inklings that they're solar farms and they're going to sell electricity back to the grid for a profit. Now who's going to benefit from this? The county apparently is going to benefit somewhere around $2,500 per megawatt. And apparently this is being renegotiated before third reading, and I would suspect that fee is going to be lowered a significant amount. So who benefits? I don't know. Maybe the businesses and the government. The people, will they see it on their electricity bill? I doubt it. Will the people of Camden get any relief? I doubt it. But the government will grow yet again. So what we need, ladies and gentlemen, is transparency. Every single meeting should be recorded and archived. So one of the ways that we can hold our government accountable. And same with the elected officials. Why did Katie Gwynn move the public comment to the end when we can clearly see from Polk Chop's report that it was all business as usual? Why indeed? What were they afraid of? Is this going to be a precedent? Are you going to sit through a 3-hour meeting to make a 5-minute comment? Ladies and gentlemen, it's just another ploy in the empire of lies of our elected officials. Until next time. That's the Liberty Report. Peace.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?